Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast on the Class. I know that some of you might need to leave because it's almost lunch on the class. So you're more than welcome to do so. We will not hold it against you. Hashem should bless us always to be able to have, as we've had in our conversation, Hashem should bless us always to have balance, to have love in our heart, to have acceptance in our heart, to begin every conversation with the hope that at the end of that conversation we are brought together. The key word is communication, which comes from the word commune, to come together. Be'ezrat Hashem, our conversations, when we talk about Am Yisrael, should always bring us closer together and not create a further divide. My friends, today's Breakfast in the Class is dedicated in loving memory of Rabbi Michael Haber, who personified this midah, the midah of shalom, the midah of accepting and loving every single Jew. What he told his children over and over and over again is that there should never be a single person in your kehillah, in your community, that you show any more respect to anybody else. I loved the fact that on Shabbat, when we were reading in the Sefer, the parasha that he died in, says, Lo tisa, you can't give more credence to someone because they're poor or because they're rich. You can never do any avil ba mishpat. You always have to judge a person based on themselves, not compared to anybody else. It was literally besedek tishpot amitecha. It was a credo. He lived his whole life with lilui nishmat. Chacham Menachem ben Chala alav shalom. He should be a melis yosher for the entire community, dedicated by the Marcus family. Today's breakfast in the class is also for Rifuah Shlema for Chana Batzim Afega and Eliyahu Shimon Mazal Fortuneh, and dedicated for the successful surgery today and for her doctor to do a great job for Frech Arina Bat Miriam, sponsored by Michael Gad. What a special thing it is to be able to know that we, even in seeking out the best doctors, are placing ourselves completely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It should be Rifuah Shlema Bekarov Be'ezrat Hashem. My friends, let us begin. I want to start with the words of the Ben Yishchai. Yesterday we asked the question. The pasuk begins, our parasha begins, it says, Emor. What does it mean? Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Emor el ha-kohanim b'nei Aaron, say to the kohanim, the sons of Aaron, ve'amarta aleihem, and you should say to them. And everybody asks, what is this Emor ve'amarta? And we discussed yesterday one approach. But I want to share with you the words of the Ben Yishchai. The Ben Yishchai says, you know why it says Emor ve'amarta? Jonathan, you're going to love this one. Ready for that? Emor ve'amarta. Why Emor ve'amarta? Because Moshe was communicating to Aaron HaKohen. I want you to understand. You are going to be a Kohen. You're going to outlive anything and everyone. And let me explain what I mean specifically by this. Nadav and Avihu has just passed away, correct? In the aftermath of the Nadav and Avihu passing away, we have this dibur, these words from Moshe, from Moshe to Aaron. And what are the words? A Kohen is not supposed to become Tameh to someone who's passed away. That's the halacha. Interestingly enough, when Nadav and Avihu passed away in the Mishkan, so who got them out? How did they take them out? The Kohanim did not take them out. Who took them out? No, their cousins. Right, at Safan, we talked about this last year in a different parasha. Their two cousins dragged them out who were not Kohanim. Okay, so this idea that a person is not allowed to become tameh to a person that's passed away is already baked in to the story of Nadav and Avihu. But the idea is that on some level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Aaron HaKohen something incredible. What you have been endowed with, this kihuna that effectively just cost you Nadav and Avihu, I want you to understand, this is a gift that will last forever. Elsewhere in the Torah, we find this expression, Birit Kihunat Olam. Where do we find that expression? Anyone remember? Who? Pinchas, excellent. Birit Kihunat Olam, a eternal Kohanic covenant. Okay? Aharon is given something that's going to last forever. And not only is it going to last during the time of the temple, but actually it's going to last far beyond the temple as well, into the future, forever and ever. And let me try and explain what this means. And hopefully this idea will resonate with each and every one of you. When Aaron HaKohen sees the inauguration of the temple, he gets a terrible feeling. He feels very, very bad. Why? Why does he feel bad? He sees that the Nisi'im are coming in. We're going to read in Parashat Naso, coming up soon. The the leaders of the tribes, everyone dedicates something for the Chanukah to Mizbeach. They bring a korban. Right? Everybody knows that. We read it 12 times in a row. Each nasi and the gift that they gave. Now here's the funny part. He feels terrible. What happens? Hashem tells him, don't feel bad. Shelecha gedola mishelahem. What you have is greater than what they have. Why? She'ata metiv, right? Umadlik etanerot. For you prepare and light the candles. That's what he says. Says the Ramban on the spot, what was Hashem telling Aaron? Aaron feels bad. He's not part of the Mizbeach. Hashem's like, don't worry, Aaron. You're going to light the menorah. What does that have to do with anything? I'm going to light the menorah, but I'm upset that I missed Aaron. The Mizbeach. There's Abu Dhabi. What's the difference? What is the answer? Yours is bigger than theirs. Ramban explains, why did God say yours is bigger than theirs? What God is saying is, their gift exists in the Beit HaMikdash. But your gift is going to result in the family that you started becoming the Chashmonaim in the story of Chanukah. And in the aftermath of that gift, of that family, every Jew in their own homes, not in the Beit HaMikdash, for all future years until Mashiach comes, are going to light the candles that your family caused to burn bright. She'ata metiv umadlik et anerot. Says the Ramban, that's referring to the miracle of Chanukah and the attendant mitzvah of candlelighting that lasts everywhere, not only in the Beit HaMikdash, not only during the Beit HaMikdash. My friends, according to this, says the Ben Yishchai, something unbelievable. Aaron is suffering. For what? Because he was given Kihuna. God says to Aaron, this gift I'm giving you, it's a gift which is forever. It's Brit Kihunat Olam, so to speak. I want you to understand. Emor ve'amarta, says the Ben Yishchai, genius. There are two mitzvot that Kohanim do all the time, for all time, whether the Beit HaMikdash is around or not. There's two mitzvot that Kohanim deal with on a day-to-day basis. What two mitzvot are relevant to a Kohen, even outside the Beit HaMikdash? Two mitzvot. One that begins with the word Emor, Emor el HaKohanim, bless the Jewish people. And one that begins with the word Ve'amarta, and you shall say to them, Lenefesh lo yitama ve'amav. They have to refrain from becoming impure by going to a cemetery, by going to a levaya, to a funeral. Those two mitzvot, Emor, Ve'amarta, are present forever in the world of a Kohen, with or without the Beit HaMikdash. My friends, based on that, we start to understand why God was telling this specifically to Aaron HaKohen. But my friends, the reason why I'm bringing that up today is for a very deep and powerful reason. Let me share with you a question. A question that has two parts to it. Part number one, we read about the fact that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tameh to anyone but their family, correct? But to their family, they are allowed to become Tameh. That's a halakha, right? We read about the seven Kirovim, right? To his wife, to his son, to his daughter, Lavi, Ulimo, right? And to his sister that's not married. Seven Kirovim that a Kohen is allowed to become Tameh to, not anybody else, but just those seven close people, his family. But a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become Tameh for anybody. First of all, why is there a difference between a Kohen and a Kohen HaGadol Me'echav? Why the Kohen Gadol does not become Tameh to the members of his family and a Kohen does? Second question. There's another person who's forbidden from becoming Tameh, and that is a Nazir. Nazir is also not allowed to become Tameh. But for the Nazir, we did not make this exclusion that he's allowed to become Tameh to his family members. Why does a Kohen get the exclusion of his family members and the Nazir does not? So two people who were involved in the Isur to become Tameh to a dead body are not absolved, are not allowed with regards to their family, Kohen Gadol and Nazir. And the Kohen is allowed to become Tameh. What's the reason for these two discrepancies. The Avne Nezer gives a very interesting explanation. He says the reason is actually quite simple and brilliant. He answers this question with regards to the Kohen versus Kohen Gadol. He says, you know why the Kohen becomes Tameh to his family? What makes a Kohen a Kohen? The fact that he was born to this family. If your family is what gave you the Kiddushah, you can't say, I'm too holy for my family. They are the reason you are too holy. So therefore, a Kohen becomes Tameh to his family. The Kohen Gadol is someone who didn't get that job because of his family. He got that job. The bird is eating. Make sure we know which one it's eating from. You don't want avian flu from Burekas. Okay? My friends, did you hear what I'm saying? The Kohen Gadol, he's chosen from his brothers. That means that he became who he became because of his own merit. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol does not become Tameh to his family members. Same idea also applies to the Nazir. The Nazir is someone that became a Nazir because of himself. So therefore, he would be somebody that would be that would not be allowed to become Tameh to his family members because his Nazirut is not because of him. I have a question. I don't know the answer. According to the Avne Nezer, what would it be with regards to a Nazir like Shimshon? Or what would be with a Nazir like, okay, it's not really relevant, but a Nazir like Shmuel? Their Nazirut was not decided by them. It was decided because of their parents. So Shmuel, sorry? So I'm saying that here, right, they promised that if they would have a son, he would be a Nazir his whole life. So Shimshon's Nazirut is not from himself. It's from the fact that his mother made the Nazirut. You hear? His mother said that if I have a son, he's going to be a Nazir his whole life. So it's also not from him. So he's a Nazir, which is like a Kohen Gadol, which is like a regular Kohen. The answer is that even though it's not because, no, it should be Mutar, because it comes from the family. I think the answer is that even though his Nazirut is not self-motivated, one could not say that his Nazirut came from his family. His Nazirut came because his mother made a Nazirut. By the way, is he bound by his mother's Nazirut? Let's say one day Shimshon decided to wake up and he says, I don't want to be a Nazir. And he went to ask a question. Do I have to remain a Nazir? I never said I was going to be. My mother said. Could your mother decide for you you're going to be a Nazir?
No.
So the decision to honor the Nazirut status that his mother placed on him was in fact, again, because of him. Okay? Now, I don't know metaphysically what would happen. Like maybe the only reason why he was granted life is because of his mother's promise. So what would happen if he stopped his Nazirut? Maybe he would have lost his Zechut Kiyum. Maybe he would have passed away. So I don't know what would have been metaphysically. But halachically, if he would have walked into Beit Din and said, I don't want to do this anymore. I never said I was going to do this. Would he be obligated? Would he be bound by his mother's Nazirut? I don't think so.
It's by Hashem.
Sorry?
By Hashem.
What do you mean it's by Hashem?
No, his mother, the Malach, told Hashem, Manoah's wife.
It's a very good question. There's two different instances here. One is with regards to the Nazirut of when it was accepted by the mother, and one is when it was dictated by the Malach. Even though the mother says it over, she got it from the Malach. I have to say, it's a very big question. This is a very big question. How do we relate to the fact that the Malach said that this is what he should be? In other words, what would have happened if he didn't listen? I want you to hear this. What would have happened if he didn't listen? What did he break? Very interesting question. Did he break the laws of Nazirut? Or did he break the laws of Nivu'ah? This is a very complicated sugya. How do we relate to the fact that he was told by the Malach, or she was told by the Malach, Because there's also the flip side of this is lo bashamayimi. So what are we being commanded over here? It's not dictating the halakha of nezirut. It's saying like a hora'at sha'a, this is what you need to become. This is the laws that should apply to him. Right? Ta'ar lo ya'ale. And by the way, what happens when ta'ar goes on his head? What happens to Shimshon? He loses all of his strength. So how do we understand it? Very complicated. How to understand what this was. And that was what I was intimating when I said, maybe he would lose his chut kiyum, right? But would we look at that as a regular case of nizirut? I don't think so. Okay? Now, the reason why I'm sharing this is because I think that there's something really powerful here that everyone should see. And especially with regards to the day that we're on today, Yom HaZikaron. Today is the day of Yom HaZikaron. And I don't know if the halachic parameters of Yom HaZikaron, you know, do we have these halachot? Can we institute halachot into the halachic, you know, spectrum, like laws of Yom HaZikaron, laws of Yom HaAtzmut? These are very big questions to be able to figure out. But what I always say is, without getting involved in these types of questions where one could ask, do we have the koach to institute this or to institute that? Who was the one that instituted it? Did they have the right to do? Forget all of that. Can we just focus for 1 second on the fact that there are people who died for Am Yisrael to protect Am Yisrael? Can we just focus on that? If Rambam, we could all agree on this, Rambam says that someone dies because they were Jewish, that person is 100%. Who are they? They are someone who died al Kiddush Hashem. Rambam writes it explicitly. Okay, so everyone agrees on that. Now, here's somebody who dies not only because they're Jewish, but they die to protect everybody else. They die because they're Jewish and they're trying to protect Am Yisrael. Our relationship with this, Rav Shlomo Zalman used to tell people to go to Har Herzl, you know, to pray at the, people wanted to go pray Kivrei Tzadikim. He would tell people to go to Har Herzl. This is a Haredi, a gadol as you could ever find in your life. He would tell people to go pray at the graves of Sadiqim. Now I want people to understand the power of what we're saying here. There are certain things that are not about political affiliation. They're not about where you come from, how this you are, how that you are. This is a Rambam. That's what Rambam says. Okay, that's what he says. This is the person who died al Kiddush Hashem. My friends, that the nature of that thing, and this is why I think what Aharon is being told, is not something that exists only in the past. Hashem tells Aharon, Emor ve'amarta. There's going to be mitzvot of kihuna even when the Kohanim are not active. You know why? Because being a Kohen is not about what you do. Being a Kohen is about who you are. So the nature of a Kohen, where did it come from? It was a birthright. It was handed down because you are HaKohanim B'nei Aharon. My friends, once we understand that truth that the Ben Ish Chai is teaching us about Emor Ve'amarta, what the Avne Nezer is teaching us about why a Kohen is able to be Mitameh to his Kirovim. Why? Because he is something because of his family. That's something that is inherent in the person. My friends, I think we can understand and extend that concept to a very wide range of Torah understanding. What is a Jew? Is a Jew what a Jew does? Or is a Jew what a Jew is? Do you understand? A Kohen is a Kohen, not because he's serving in the temple. He's a Kohen because he was born a Kohen. Because his grandfather was a Kohen, he was the son of Aaron. And therefore, the whole reason why he's able to be Mitameh L'Kerovim is because his Kiddushah comes from who he is, who he was born to. He was born into that Kiddushah. My friends, that is true about all of Am Yisrael. What are we called by Hashem? Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. If that's how it works for Kohanim, then we have to remember that whether we are Levi or Yisrael, every Jew is Mamlechet Kohanim. There's something about the fact that you were born into this. And by the way, if someone also joins as a ger, as a convert, the halakha is that that becomes a, it is a retroactive revelation that the person was at Mount Sinai. That's what Al Chachamim tell us. This was someone who was at Har Sinai. His soul was present at Har Sinai when God said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And what did his soul say? His soul said, Naseh v'nishma. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim adds something which is hair-raising. He says that in every nation, when God came to the nations and asked them if they wanted to take the Torah, so the nation said, we don't want the Torah. This nation, that nation, they all gave a reason. Said the Chafetz Chaim, what you think? Everyone in the nation said, no? Well, you don't think there was one guy that said yes? Okay, so the answer is, okay, it was shouted out, majority rules. Says the Chafetz Chaim, no. The one person in the nation, the one soul that said yes, didn't lose out because the rest of his people didn't want it. His soul was at Har Sinai, and those are the converts that convert to Judaism all throughout Jewish history. Are not just the ones that were at Mount Sinai. They were the ones that when God offered the Torah to the nation, their soul said yes. Fascinating. Then the Chafetz Chaim continues and he says something which gives me a shudder every time I repeat it. He says, and you think when God said to the Jewish people, do you want the Torah, every single Jew said yes? There were those Jews, there were some that didn't want. Says the Chafetz Chaim, and those are the souls that leave Judaism and join other religions all throughout history. This is what he says. You cannot leave. But the ones that rejected it at that time, right, their souls were lacking in their receiving of the Torah. The Chafetz Chaim is not talking about Jews that are irreligious. He's not. How do I know? Go read his writings in Chomat Adat. Go read his writings. Oh, and the way he talks about how we have an obligation to do everything we can to reach out to every kind of Jew, to bring them back, to encourage them. Go read, you'll see. It's clear that he's not talking about that. But that there were Jews that not just were irreligious, or that didn't practice, or that weren't so strict, or that whatever. There were Jews that converted to other religions, and that tried to kill Jews, and tried to turn the governments against, it's terrible. I mean, unfortunately, there are some of those Jews, I believe, that are around today in our society, trying to destroy Am Yisrael, trying to destroy Eretz Yisrael. The Chafetz Chaim is saying that that happened because way back when, they never wanted a piece of this. So they closed their hearts, and that Torah never went in. But for anybody that's not in that extreme, extreme, extreme level, that they're trying to kill their fellow Jews, for anyone that's not part of that, my friends, this is not what you do, this is who you are. Emor ve'amarta. My friends, on Yom HaZikaron, therefore, I want to try and think about the fact that the things that Aharon HaKohen did are present and alive with us today as well. You know, I'll give you one more story with the Chafetz Chaim. I believe it was Rav Shimon Shkup, I think. It might not have been. It might have been Rav Schwab, I don't remember. He was sitting with the Chafetz Chaim once, and the Chafetz Chaim asked him as a young man, he said, are you a Kohen? He said, no. He said, why not? He said, what do you mean? He says, I'm a Kohen. Why aren't you a Kohen? He said, I don't know. I don't know what you want from me. I don't know. Chafetz Chaim answered. He said, because thousands of years ago, when Moshe issued the call, Mi Lashem Elai, my grandfather stepped up and your grandfather didn't. So thousands of years ago, a decision, a choice that a grandfather made results in the great, 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 grandchildren being born of a different matter. You know, they did this fascinating study. There is a Kohanic DNA gene that they can trace. Fascinating. Indicating Sorry? Yeah, Mechon Weizmann was the one that did the study. Yes. But it's fascinating. Says the Chafetz Chaim, my great-grandfather did. He stood up. He made a choice. And that meant that eternally the children, I'm a Kohen, and you're not. You know why? Because my grandfather stepped up and yours didn't. The Chafetz Chaim wasn't telling him, nah, 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 I'm a Kohen, you're not. He was saying to him, what choices will you make that will differentiate your grandchildren from mine? Not for the sake of being better than somebody, but for the sake of planting something in the future that is there eternally. In Yahadut, one of the things we do not believe in is the mitigation of time. A person's decisions are not decisions that start and end today. They far outlive that person. And when a person is given their life to protect Am Yisrael, then that decision that they've made, it doesn't end with them being put in the ground and them getting a day and them getting an El Malei Rahamim from us. But rather, Yitzror B'tzror HaHaim Et Nishmoteihem, those decisions that they make of self-sacrifice for Am Yisrael last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And they make an imprint on our collective consciousness. They make an imprint on that person's soul in Shamayim, whether they have children or not, forever and ever and ever. My friends, so my question to each and every one of us today is, what choices will we make today which will reverberate throughout our entire future, throughout our soul's future in Gan Eden, forever and ever and ever, throughout our children in their DNA, forever and ever and ever, and more of the Amarta, till today, this young man over here is doing something, or not doing something, because his great, great, great grandfather made a different choice to mine. What an unbelievable thing. Every time you see a Kohen now go up to the Torah, or you see a Kohen walk to the front of the shul, think, he's walking up there because his grandfather made a sacrifice for Am Yisrael. And then think to yourself, what sacrifice could I make? What deed could I do that will result in my future and my children forever being changed because of the sacrifice I made? Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen. Rabbi Chananya.